from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
That would be me. I've been called worse than host, so that's good. You know, it's a good day. It is May 15th, halfway through the month of May. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest of 31. Almost done. Well, it is another week in paradise here in Dripping Springs, Texas, wherever you are. Glad you're there, and thanks for joining us. Get yourself a little cup of tea or cup of joe. And join us, Ken Rolla. It is the third Monday of the month, and Ken's here. And you'll say hi to him in just a second. He's waiting in the green room. It's not easy being green, I'll tell you that. Judy Hoy, she's a cool lady. She's up in Montana. And she's been researching, documenting the effects of glyphosates on animals and humans. She's got some pretty startling stories about how these glyphosates are... She finds baby deer and these little babies and stuff like that, and she can see malformations and then actually get them back going if she gets them early enough with some very simple cell salts. These little cell salts, pretty amazing stuff. Andrew Wheel will be Wheel. Is it Wheel or Wild? Or Wheel or Wild? Or we'll talk about mind over meds with Andrew Wheel. Wheel? Probably should find out how you say his name before you have him on, right? The Real World of Money on Wednesday. And I know how to say his name, Andrew Goss, and Maureen Fontaine. It's a great name, isn't it? Maureen Fontaine. Dark field microscopy, live blood analysis. And we'll have somebody else on Thursday as well. Just not sure who sure, whatever. Sure who it's going to be as yet. Ken Rolla is a natural health educator, man about time, bon vivant, inventor. He's in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. He's really specialized in rejuvenation, cellular regeneration. He uses a lot of raw sprouted vegetables and herbs and stuff like that. And he's way out there when it comes to fun things like, other than earthly beings. And this morning we're going to talk about past lives too. Ken has had some past life experiences, and so have I. We'll chat about those and some parasite ideas and allergies, EMF protection, how it does work, and some sleep issues that we can. So we got a whole list here of the things we can dance around this morning. So if you'd like to be on the show and participate with Ken Rolla and Patrick, it is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Mr. Rolla, good morning in Smyrna Beach.
Good morning.
How's Smyrna Beach? You guys Smyrna?
But we're here in the south. We call it New Smyrna.
New Smyrna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And where is it exactly? I mean, someplace where
it
we know?
It is on the northeast coast, 15 minutes south of Daytona Beach, northeast of Orlando.
On the northeast. Oh. So you're on the Atlantic Ocean.
Correct.
You far from the ocean?
I'm about 10 minutes drive from the ocean.
Really? Really? Mm-hmm. Is there some, you think, Ken Rolla, some health benefits to some being in the, you know, a few miles from the ocean with the spray and the iodine and the whole mojo and the energetic things from the ocean? There must be good things, right?
Yeah, supposedly the beach, the ocean, water, and air puts out negative ions that drop pollutants out of the air and are supposedly good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will walk on the beach just for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like it. I think, I'm a Pisces, so water is very balancing for me. So I like being around, just driving around town and seeing these bodies of water. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, negative ions are positive for us. I mean, you could actually go out on the interweb that Al Gore invented before global warming. The weekend before, I think he invented that negative ion generators actually have those. Do those things do anything? They used to be the rage years ago, but I don't know. I haven't seen them very often anymore.
Yeah, salt lamps do the same thing. They just charge the air with negative ions, and the negative ions latch onto dust particles and toxins in the air, which have a positive charge, and drop them to the ground.
Oh, I see.
So it cleans the air a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then it gets into the body as well, and it'll neutralize free radicals, which have a positive charge.
So all the bad actors, like Jane Fonda, free radical. Oh, no, not Jane. She's cool. She used to be, I think. So the free radicals and the parasites and such have a positive charge. And then things like monatomic silver, stuff we've been talking about of lately. I mentioned this, Gary Hanna's got some great products. And other things, clays, they're all negatively charged.
Right.
And sulfur, would sulfur do that too? Would that be a thing? Why it works on the metals? Same?
Probably, place? Yeah. There are different ways you can target toxins and pathogens, and one of them is by charge. And so toxins and pathogens do hold a positive charge. So anything that you put in the body that has negative charge will latch onto that and neutralize it or pull it out of the body.
So
antioxidants, you know, like foods, blueberries, or you know, any kind of live food.
Uh-huh.
Zeolites, which have a very strong negative charge, those will latch onto free radicals and flush them out of the body.
Oh,
and toxins and pathogens.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever messed around with clay much? Gary Hanna has, Nature's Pure Organic has a really wonderful clay. It's a 5-blend that I took, and I'm playing around with it. And man, there's something going on with clays. Have you messed around with them much?
Yeah, I do. I've been teaching people for many years to ingest clays to pull out toxins from the body, particularly the transuranic radioactive elements, which are the radioactive elements.
The what? The transuranic?
Yeah.
Man, you're geeky.
It's the radioactive elements of uranium on up on the periodic chart. Their particle sizes are too big for zeolites to pull out of the body, and so clays and charcoal are very good at doing that, and other substances like apple pectin, for example, is very good at pulling those out. So clays, yeah, I teach people to take a mixture of clays like bentonite,
mm-hmm.
bentonite clay, or montmorillonite clay, or there's this stuff called sacred clay, and mix it with charcoal. And you can also mix it with powdered chia or flax and apple pectin, and just make a powder and take a tablespoon or so every day in liquid, and
mm-hmm.
it'll pull all kinds of junk out of the gut.
Oh, this is exactly what he's got. It's calcium montmorillonite healing
mm-hmm.
clay. So I think he's got 4 or 5 in Nature's Pure Organics. I'll have to look at the labels and see. I think he's got some zeolites in there and
mm-hmm.
some other things. Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. My little girl, a golden doodle, she, every couple of years, she would get these little gooey eye things, you know,
mm-hmm.
just on the corner of the eye, can white. And it would just pop up, and then it popped up about 2 months ago, and all of a sudden every morning, so I just clean them out with a little Kleenex, and I never gave much thought to it, figuring that the body kind of knows what to do, you know, and if it's when it gets rid of something, I'm not going to try to stop it and worry about it, you know, I just clean her little eyes out. So that's been going on for quite, you know, about 2 months this time, which is kind of a long time. So I got hooked up with Gary, and I put some of this clay in her water. And, you know, I think almost 2 days, just 2 days of drinking this clay water, the little gooey stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what it did or what it didn't do. I have no idea. You know, it'd all be theory if I could make up a story about it. But, you know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There are ways to tell what's going on.
How would you do that?
Animals. Well, what I do with my dogs, I I get them SKIO sessions, quantum biofeedback sessions.
You put them on quantum biofeedback?
Yeah, you can actually put them on the SKIO.
That's
and
hilarious.
The SKIO will tell you exactly what's going on with them.
That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just do that. But he says that his product is so cool that you don't even want to use a metal container or a metal spoon or anything like that, or even in your finger. You just use a wooden spoon to mix it all up there. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'd like this guy. I'll hook you up with him. I was telling you about the monatomic silver and gold and stuff before
the
show.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I'm always interested, particularly anything that'll kill pathogens, because I see that a lot. As a matter of fact, I was out in California a couple weekends ago and picked up some nasty GMO bacteria.
Yeah, I can hear that you got something going
on.
Yeah,
I'm just getting over it still.
Uh-huh.
It was really nasty. And about every couple years, I'll bump into something like this when I'm traveling. And I was so busy, I didn't have a chance to do my usual protocol.
Sure.
So I picked something up. By the time I got home, it was full on. And
just felt really yucky. Huh? Just like something just crashed your gator.
Yeah, and I mean, I was using monatomic silver, I was using chlorine dioxide, I was using food and herbs and all kinds of stuff.
While you were on the trip?
Yeah, I was speaking in California
and it
about
still got
clearing
to.
Chemtrails.
Oh, you were speaking about clearing chemtrails.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder. I mean, they made
yeah,
a,
I kind of suspect I might have been targeted.
They made a special visit.
There were some energetic components to it as well.
That's hilarious.
But, yeah, so, because I mean, I travel a lot, and normally I never have a problem, but... it was a long trip. I mean, it was like 14 hours of flying back and forth.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Each way. So
I tell you, the next time I fly, I'm going to get some of this. I've got some 6,000 parts per million of this. 6,000 parts per million. This is legitimate. Tested. And you can dilute it with distilled water down to 500, and you're still like five times more than most of the stuff out there. And most of it's nano, which we know is not good. Anyway, I think you could do like a 500 spray and spray those suckers in your ears and your eyes and your nose in the airplane.
Yeah, normally
you know?
I do that.
Yeah.
I normally take monatomic silver on the plane with me and spray it, and I
you didn't
forgot
do
it. and actually, I had some in my checked bags, which, of course, didn't do me any good. And then, but I was just, I mean, the moment I got off the plane, the people that I was visiting hustled me off to meet a bunch of folks, and so I was just going nonstop. I never had a chance to do anything. But normally what I do... Because you're dealing with really bad air on airplanes.
Really bad, yeah.
Bacteria and viruses and stuff. So I'll do silver, I'll do chlorine dioxide, also known as MMS or CDS, before, during, and after the flight. And also I'll take this stuff called Rad Detox, which protects the body against radiation, nuclear radiation. And so normally, you know, I do that and I never had any problem. But this time I was so busy, I didn't have a chance to do anything. And so here you go.
Yeah, plus, you know, when you get on these kind of trips too, goodness knows what you end up putting in your mouth, you know. There's times when you're not really sure, you know, what goes in.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, usually when I'm flying, if I don't bring my own food, I don't put anything in.
You just don't eat, huh?
No, I don't.
Wow.
Yeah, because, I mean... You know, all the airport food and the plane food is all GMO and just absolutely nasty food, so I don't touch it.
Yeah, yeah. If you'd like to be on the show with Ken Rolla, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Ken's here. He has a great website. It is, what's the name of the website? Spacing out.
Freshandalive.com.
Oh, God, that was great. But he's got the Golden Pyramid Scalar Energy device he makes. And it's right on our front page. You can get one of those. Also, the structuring water thing, the Vitalizer Plus. Man, I love mine. I don't know. I just like looking at that little tornado that's going down the middle of the thing. I mean, it just looks cool, you know. It just really does, and it's a fine running little unit, isn't it? Just
The little bubbles and everything.
It's great.
I mean, we make it every day, and we really enjoy it.
Yeah. It structures it up. Huh? What are the size of the little, is it a hexagonal?
Of the water clusters?
The clusters, yeah.
Yeah, they call it hexagonal water. Healthy water, the water molecules, first of all, water is a liquid crystal, so the molecules like to latch onto each other in groups of six if the water's healthy. And they'll latch onto each other in groups of six just for a microsecond, like a billionth of a second, and then let go and grab onto some more. But they do this so fast, it's like they're kind of like doing the square dance where they're do-si-do-ing with, you know, five other partners, and then they let go and grab onto five more. And it's happening in billionths of a second.
Wow.
And that when it does that, it creates patterns in the clustering of the molecules that conveys information to the body. Now, in the case of vitalized water, it conveys information that triggers a healing response. With unhealthy water that's been through damaging effects, like pressurization or heat, or filtration, certain kinds, like reverse osmosis and things, it'll create clustering patterns that will trigger a disease response. It's that's the basis, really, of homeopathy. And that's kind of how your cell salts work. The cell salts trigger that same kind of reaction in a positive way. So the vitalizer restructures the water as well as oxygenating it, and it creates monatomic elements and angstrom particles, which are minerals with just a few atoms per particle, which can get into the cells and feed them.
So this little guy, so this little guy's got these organic mineral little block that's down there. That, so you're getting the minerals and all the cool stuff. So how long does that little block last?
Well, I use mine every day,
yeah,
a couple times every day. And so that'll last me about 3-4 months, somewhere in that ballpark.
How do you know when it's up? Like, then you got to get another.
Well, what I do is I test the pH of the water every time. And so I know when the block runs out, the pH of the water won't drop down to alkaline.
Oh, plus I could also use my TDS meter, I bet.
Right.
Right?
And the vitalizer has a timer built into it that you can reset that will tell you to change it every so often. And that's what most people do. But I want to squeeze every moment out of that, life out of that block. So I just test the pH of it. And when it's no longer getting alkaline, then I change it out.
So do you sell a quick, easy way to test the pH on our website, Fresh and Alive?
Yeah, we have pH drops for water that are pretty accurate.
Yeah, pretty close.
And a lot easier than using a pH meter, because meters you have to calibrate. You have to have calibration solutions and cleaning solutions and stuff. And so they're, I don't even use them much unless I'm doing, you know, serious testing.
Serious testing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'll talk to Amber and I'll get some of those and test the pH, because I've never messed with it much. I put a little ocean water in my Vitalizer Plus, right? A little bit of that.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then I bought a bottle of that liquid mana stuff from you. What is that? Because I want to get some more of that. I ran out, and I don't know what it does, but it sure is fun putting it in there.
It's very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
The formula for it's proprietary, so they don't tell me what it really is. But from everything that I've seen of it, what I believe it is ormus water, which, you know, is water that has these monatomic elements in it. And then they program it with scalar frequencies.
Wow.
And the scalar energy frequency I think they're using is oxygen. So it acts like water that has more oxygen than water can actually chemically contain. And I found serendipitously one time doing a SCIO session that apparently it really raises the conductivity in the body, because I went and got a SCIO session, and SCIO is this device which is a combination of computer software and hardware, and it has these electrode straps that wrap around your forehead and your ankles and your wrists, and it reads the body, and then it can send energy back in, and scalar energy. Well, I just happened to drink a full bottle of this liquid mana before going to get a SCIO session, and it raised the superconductivity in the body so much that the SCIO was like burning little red lines into my forehead, and I was feeling these like tingling on my forehead, but the interesting thing was I was seeing all these lights flashing in these patterns as the SCIO was sending energy back into me. It's like I had my eyes closed, and I'm seeing like these geometric patterns of light flashing and doing all kinds of interesting stuff. And I got, of course, much better results, too. The practitioner told me that the SCIO was resolving a lot better than it usually did. So it's some interesting stuff. So I always recommend anybody who's getting quantum biofeedback to drink a bottle of that liquid manna before they go, and you get better results.
You drink a whole bottle? I mean, because I just put like a teaspoon in my Vitalizer, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what they recommend, you know, drinking just a little bit starting out. And I would recommend anybody who's starting out with it, just take a little bit and work your way up. But, you know, me, I'm kind of gung-ho with stuff, and sometimes I'll just push it to the limit and see what happens.
I want to get some more of those big round plates. What do you call those? I've got, what do you call the... The discs, the
energy. Oh, the scalar energy.
The scalar energy. I'm sitting on one right now, a big one, right on there. I got a little cushion, and I have one in a doodle lies on in the back seat of the Prius. I've got one on my water. So I'm thinking I'm going to get one more, a couple more, have one where I sit at night and read. Might as well, you know, juice it up, right? And,
well, yeah.
And then also in my car, I'll put one on my seat, my front seat, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've had people who can see and feel energy tell us that these things have an energy that is unlike other devices they've seen. It's because they have natural minerals in them. You know, they've got quartz and selenite and kyanite and amethyst and 12 other mineral powders. And so that imparts natural frequencies because crystals are oscillators, and that which just means that when you send energy into them of one frequency, it will come out the other end of the crystal of a specific frequency to that crystal. And so the natural harmonics of those minerals combined apparently has a lot of harmonious effects on living organisms, because we've seen, I originally invented them for fermentation to put underneath my 5-gallon fermentation bucket.
I see. Yeah.
And it, you know, radically improves the results of fermentation. You get higher nutrient levels and the ferments happen quicker. So I was doing that, and then people started calling us and emailing us, telling them they were putting them in their refrigerators and making the food last longer, or sleeping with them and getting better sleep, or lying with them when they were in pain, it would take pain away, all kinds of crazy stuff. And so we just kind of started taking note of what people were doing. And we also knew, I knew from testing, that it will structure water, because you can put water on it for a few minutes, maybe 5-10 minutes, and then freeze that water, and you'll see a very different crystallization pattern in the ice than you do with regular water.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we make little ones, little what we call holy hand grenades, and I put those with potted plants. I'll put them in the base of potted plants. And I did tests with control plants and with and without the hand grenades, and the plants that had the hand grenades grew about a third faster than without. So we use those on all of our potted plants.
That's funny. Well, I tell you, Doodle sure likes hanging out more in my bedroom on the floor there with that little, well, now we got another one outside off front too. I got three golden pyramids. I'm becoming a pyramid person here. I could probably do another one too. I'd love to have one in the car, but you couldn't really plug it into you.
Well, I'm going to be coming back out with my Stress Shield device, which is a little small pocket-sized powered scalar wave generator, and that use in the car.
Yeah, just take it with you. Yeah, just take it with you in your briefcase or something.
Yeah, I've been redesigning it, and I'm close to being done, but I've just been traveling so much, I haven't had a chance to get back to it.
Yeah, cool.
But we'll be coming out with that. And, you know, speaking of pyramid power, I'm going to be going in June, I'm going to be going to Bosnia to see the largest pyramids in the world in Bosnia, that a man named Dr. Samir Osmanagic discovered several years ago. And he's going to have one of the top pyramid scientists in the world there with him, a guy named Dr. Valery Uvarov from Russia.
Mm.
So I'm going to have a blast.
Wow.
They've excavated these pyramids. They were so big, they eclipsed the size of the Egyptian pyramids. And they were so big, people just thought they were mountains, because they're like the size of a small city. I mean, they're huge. And so he's excavating them and finding all these man-made or somebody-made tunnels and caverns in them.
Somebody-made.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't
really
know,
who
man.
Made it. Maybe it was people, maybe it wasn't. But it was very sophisticated technology, and they're discovering chambers where they're very healing. And they found, surprisingly, when they open up these pyramids, after being closed up for thousands of years, you would think that the air inside these tunnels and things would be stagnant and old, but it was actually very, very fresh, and the water inside them, they've got water in them, the water was very, very pure, and they discovered that when they go inside of them, people will get healed of diseases and stuff, and their health will improve and all kinds of crazy things.
Do they know what these, what they were doing? Do they, how they got these rooms?
Started sending me their videos of their discoveries, because Dr. Osmanagic is an archaeologist, not a physicist, and you know, because of my work with the scalar devices, I understand the physics of it, and so they would send me videos of their discoveries, and I would email them back and say, well, here's what's going on from a physics standpoint. And so so they are, you know, between him, he also has been working with Valery Uvarov and this Russian scientist named Dr. Alexander Golod. And Golod is high up in the military in Russia and has access to a lot of high technology and top secret technology that can see what's going on with these pyramids. And so they've proven scientifically a lot of what's going on. For example, that there's this double helix vortex that comes up out of the tip and goes way out into space.
Wow.
And it purifies the air, and it neutralizes radioactivity, and it stops seismic activity, all kinds of crazy stuff. And so, so yeah, it's very exciting what they're discovering. And, of course, it's changing human history, and because of that, rather than being applauded, Dr. Osmanagic is being attacked by the orthodoxy of archaeology.
Oh, I'm shocked.
But he's got some heavy hitters that are going there and studying them and showing what's going on. And so it's very fascinating. So I can't wait to see what kinds of things they've unearthed there.
So you're going to be go ahead. I'm sorry, interrupted.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say there's a whole complex of pyramids there. It's not just one pyramid. They've got several different pyramids and a river flowing through them. It's this whole complex, and the river is actually part of the energetics of the complex. Somebody, it appears, built these flow forms in the bed of the river, and flow forms are structures that will condense and concentrate the water and treat it homeopathically so that the water gets structured just like in a vitalizer, you know, where it oxygenates it and it structure it homeopathically. It makes, it changes the bond angle of the H2O, which makes it more hydrating, and it changes the clustering pattern so that it's beneficial for living organisms. And so they're trying to figure out how all this stuff was done. And you know, what I see with this is that there's a couple of different stories about how these pyramids were built, not just in Bosnia, but Egypt and other places, because, you know, as people know, the Egyptian pyramids, for example, the blocks that are the pyramids made out of weigh hundreds of tons each, and, you know, they were quarried supposedly from miles away, and they were, when they were put together, they were put together with such close tolerance that you can't slide, you know, piece of paper in between them. And what it appears now, there's some scientists who are showing that what it appears is either these stones were cast like concrete and the scalar energy that the pyramids transmit altered the atomic structure and made it stone-like, or they had some technology for making the stone very soft like clay and very light like cork, and then scooping it and cutting it and forming it like clay, very, very light clay, and you know, being able to manipulate it that way. Because they found human artifacts inside the stone that should be impossible to be there, you know, if it was regular stone. But they found, you know, human hair and rope and things like that inside of these stones when they've been broken in two. So it's changing our whole view of history and the stories that we've been told about ancient people being less developed than us and those kinds of things. Turns out they're probably more sophisticated than us, and they were probably built by very ancient races of people on this planet.
Yeah, that was probably before the internet too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Abraham Lincoln, wasn't it, who introduced the internet? So
no, it was
way before
It was actually Al Gore's grandson who did it.
That's right.
All right, Ken Rolla is here, and God, we just give Al such a hard time, but he's fun to poke fun at. It is Patrick Timpone, Ken Rolla, and the products that we talked about. with this scalar energy device, the golden pyramid and the little discs and the holy hand grenade and the water vitalizer plus and some other cool things are all available through One Radio Network. You just click on the big golden pyramid scalar energy device. Ken's got a nice little sale for you. You just use the promo code One Radio, which is an all caps thing, and it'll give you a discount and cope a 10% off discount One Radio, and you get yourself one of these little scalar guys or both or whatever you want to play around with. And he's got some other cool products on there too. And just click on the front page of One Radio Network. Boy, you know, we got this trademark of Know the Source, I don't know, back in 2006 or something like that. And it was just, I never really had an idea where this was all going to go. But it is so much fun to think about people like Ken Rolla, who you know and trust in making these kind of things, and Daniel Vitalis. Talk about this pine pollen, which was one of my favorite products, and then now Gary Hanna, Stephen Huer in the One World Way, and Living Libations, Nadine and their family with these amazing essential oils and some of the things that they do, and then Brandon Amalani and his incredible company, Shen Blossom, where he's making, I mean, this is crazy. He's making like 50-year-old ginseng roots with the authentic way that they do it with the Chinese medicine. And he's got his Chinese medicine teachers, and they do it with different moon phases, and they're using sake. And I mean, you know, this stuff, you just don't go out on the internet and buy some ginseng. And this is the real deal. And he has his own Shizandra farm, organic Shizandra berries, and then goji berry products. And I mean, amazing. And Myron Glass. I mean, this is what you want to do if you're going to spend your money on these kind of things, is you go to a Ken Roller, Daniel Vitalis, or Stephen Huer, and you know, you get the best, you know, that they're really into it. And well, you know the source. That's the deal. You know the source. So let's do a little birds and the beast things on the pine pollen. This is probably one of the most androgenic formula ever out there. Pine pollen, the 4P, the pure pollen, pure pine pollen, pure potency. Pine pollen pure potency. They've got a little bit of, speaking of ginseng in there, also a little Tahitian vanilla beans and orange peels. So it tastes like mwah. And I'm on the auto ship there, so I get it every month. And you can do about two good dropperfuls every day and still have a little bit left over. So the last few days when you get your new one, you can just OD and, you know, go out dancing or something. It's a pretty amazing product, guys, to keep your T-levels up and happy. It is the pure potency, the pine pollen pure potency. Elk velvet antler is right there with it. And also then the colostrum, which is the flagship kind of product, the colostrum. And then he has the shaga and the reishi. And you know how they do these things. It's just out of control good. And it's just, we're very honored to have this product line by Daniel Vitalis on our site, and it's so thrival. Some really, really nice products. Oh, here's the way. Previously with Stephen Huer, and why the uniqueness of One World Way delivers exceptional benefits.
A non-denatured, truly pure, truly raw whey protein will only help to raise glutathione. And when you raise glutathione, you have to remember every cell of the body, your pancreas, your liver, brain, all are dependent upon 10% of the protein content and every cell being glutathione, and makes that cell detoxify itself of heavy metals, chemicals, and whatever drugs. And then that makes the cell healthy. And one of the reasons that you have chronic disease is because the cells of the different organs and bodies are producing too little glutathione. They're succumbing to the free radicals. They're succumbing to the toxins, damaging the function of that organ. And that's one of the reasons why One World Way is so profoundly therapeutically powerful, because every cell and every organ depends upon high levels of glutathione, and this is the number one food to fuel it over long periods of time, is glutathione production.
One World Way offers four very, very good tasting flavors: chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and unsweetened, unflavored. Click and order One World Way right now on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source.
The source.
OneRadioNetwork.com.
It's so important
to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl, you're everything to.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, nothing like making someone happy, is there, Ken Rolla? It just doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, that's a great way to live.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of pollen, pollen is a very interesting substance, and one of the things I came to realize in looking at electron micrographs of pollen is that they're little skater wave antennas. The granules of pollen are actually little
really?
Geometric skater wave antennas, so they're like these little microscopic antennas in the body that bring in skater frequencies, and there are other substances that do this as well, like minerals. Their geometry conducts scalar energy that's all around us and brings it into the body and localizes it in areas that can do beneficial things energetically. It's very interesting.
So can we conjecture then that many of these different things that we take, whether it be pine pollen, you know, just cool products that people really feel. So what you've just said maybe is a way to elucidate the idea that we're really getting information.
Yeah.
Right. We're getting information, not just some clunky whatever molecules or some chemistry, right? Just not some pollen falling from the trees or whatever. Something else is going on.
Precisely. That's exactly it. A lot of the things that we ingest in our food, like minerals, zeolites, for example. Zeolites are a mineral that you can ingest and pull toxins out, and it works mechanically and it works chemically, but also works energetically. A lot of these substances we ingest, they are like little microscopic skater wave antennas that bring energy into the system as well. Photosynthesis, for example, is a quantum energetic process as well as chemical. And so this is something that has been ignored by mainstream science, but it is one level of what's going on. And it's a very important level because when you understand it, you can do things to maximize the benefits from that, from the energetic.
And perhaps,
perhaps
a lot of these spiritual teachers and some of these people that we know that have lived a long, long, long time, kept their body, they use some of these things because they figured out that they work, right? That they,
oh, absolutely.
That they help their longevity.
Yeah, I mean, I've met Indian yogis, and there's a reason that these yogis live high in the Himalayas and not on the beaches of Florida. It's because first of all, the mountains, the Himalayas themselves, and any volcanic mountains, they're giant skater wave antennas.
Mm-hmm.
They're like chakras of the earth that capture this energy coming up from the center of the earth and coming down from the sun, and it rebroadcasts it around and also creates a vortex of skater waves up through the tips of the mountains.
Wow.
But when you're inside of the mountain like these yogis do, like the really high-level advanced ones, you know, they're hiding out in these caves inside these mountains that are skater wave antennas. They're eating food that's very high in these monoatomic elements, which are very regenerative, and they create superconductivity in the body that strengthens the mind-body connection, which makes meditation and manifesting much easier and more powerful. They're drinking water that is high in monoatomic elements, because one of the properties of monoatomics is that they're anti-gravitational, and so they're in spring water, and they actually levitate spring water up to the surface. This was actually something that Alexander Golod showed that pyramids can do. They can actually create springs or bring springs to the surface, because the skater fields that these large pyramids put off will actually pull on the ormus in the groundwater and bring spring water up into places where it normally doesn't come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so these yogis and such hiding out in these mountains, they're eating food grown on high ormus soil. They're drinking water that's high in these monoatomics that levitates up thousands of feet into these mountain springs. So they're purifying their bodies and their minds. They're raising the superconductivity. And all of that enhances health and consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dr. Thomas Cowan conjectures that similar kind of thing is going on with the body, with the blood circulating from the ground up, as you know, kind of like sap goes up the tree.
Yes.
You know, this ormus kind of thing, when the heart is not a pump, it's just
exactly.
Right? It's the body's doing all of that. Everything in our body is doing it, right?
Exactly. That's it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's mechanically impossible for the heart to push the blood through the many, many miles of vessels, particularly the capillaries and all these very small vessels, where, I mean, they get down to the size where only one blood cell can flow through them.
One blood cell.
Yeah, I mean, some of the capillaries, when you get down to the ends of the capillaries where they meet the lymph system, mm-hmm. they're extremely small, where only one blood cell can get through at a time.
That's amazing.
And so there's no way with that kind of pressure, that back pressure, that a pump made out of muscle could do that. But what the heart does, I mean, this has been shown, I think it was Hans Niebuhr, I may be wrong about that, but somebody showed that what the heart does is it vortexes the blood and enhances its ability to flow.
Hmm.
And then it's probably not really fully understood how the blood really is pumped through the system, but it's a combination of microcontractions in the vessels themselves, probably energetics, and possibly even action of gravitation may be involved in it. But it's definitely, there's a lot more going on there than what we've been told.
Yeah, because, you know, the Beaker Boys, you know, we call them the Beaker Boys. And you know, they've only been around 100 years since this whole allopathic model, right? And so this is their scientific religion, and this is what they're telling everything is the way it is. And it really
precisely.
Isn't. It really isn't.
Well, and in every field of endeavor that I've seen, when you start looking at the people in the cutting edge of any field, whether it's science or art or philosophy or whatever, what you begin to discover is that all of these different fields of endeavor have intentionally been controlled and manipulated to keep the empowering information out of it so that the folks in charge can maintain their power and control.
Right, yeah.
And so it's about suppressing consciousness overall.
Yeah.
And so when you start to see, I mean, highly credentialed people, Nobel Prize winners and you know, renowned scientists in the realms of science and in other areas that are bringing out the truth. And, of course, consistently what happens, it's like I was saying with Dr. Osmanowicz, when you bring out the truth and show a different paradigm that busts the existing paradigm, that's when you don't just get ignored, you get attacked. And free energy technology and things like that. So there's definitely an agenda that's been going on as long as humans have been around, to keep information very controlled about the nature of our reality so that we continue to be dependent on the powers that be and living in the paradigm that they want to profit from us on.
Yeah, I agree, Ken. And it's always, as you say correctly, I believe that it's always been like that. I know that Eckankar, the path of total awareness, the path of spiritual experience that I'm on, has been taught since the beginning of time in some form or another, you know? Mm-hmm. And there were many thousands of years where it was taught underground. It was only just, you'd find a teacher because they would come get you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lynch you up, man. They would just kill you, you know?
And, there's evidence for this, for cultures that were more advanced than us, tens of thousands of years ago, all around the planet, that, of course, has been sequestered away. But there are people who've come out, brave souls who have brought this information out and shown. I mean, like, just in the last year or two, there was an archaeologist, a woman, I forget her name, who discovered this entire city with pyramid complexes underneath the ocean off the southwest coast of Cuba.
Oh, I heard about it. Yeah, I've heard
which
about
they're
that.
Postulating may have been what we call Atlantis. But it appears that this civilization was very advanced technologically. And she was heavily attacked when she tried to bring this out to the mainstream media.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And look at even what religions have done over the years, you know. They've all started from the pure teachings of what truth is and what God is, right? They all come from what's real, right? They all come from the same place. And then they just spun off, and then they've hidden a lot of the things. I know what Jesus was really about and all that. Look what's happened to that. You know?
Exactly, exactly. Well, I mean, it's like where I'm going to see the Bosnian pyramids. You know, Bosnia, and Croatia, they were involved in civil wars not very long ago over predominantly religious beliefs that were spun and manipulated by the powers that be, and that's part of this process, keeping people at each other's throats, divide and conquering, and fighting each other rather than looking at who's controlling and manipulating.
That's right. Look what's going on in the Middle East. It has for 1,000 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Sunnis and the Shias, right?
It's
they've got two different head dudes, you know, and they were brothers, Muhammad and Muhammad's brother, and that and they've been fighting about that for 1,000 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, you just want to get together. I mean, God's God, and let's have some fun, but you know, they won't get over it. You know?
Well, that's it. I mean,
they won't
get
over
it. Disagree on things,
sure,
and not
you don't have to kill each other. You don't have to kill each other over
it. It's just so absurd.
And my God's bigger than your God, and let's go to war over it.
That's it. And we've been directed to hate each other so much to benefit the power structures on this planet, you know, whether it's racial or cultural or male against female or, you know,
whatever.
In every which way we've been manipulated to fight with each other. And we've got to get smarter than that. I see, you know, on social media, these Pavlovian reactions where something gets announced in the media, whether it's some, you know, a white cop beats up a black kid or whatever, or the Arabs did this or that, or whatever it is, or pitting religion against religion or whatever. And then there's these Pavlovian responses on social media of, you know, people hating on it. Oh,
right.
It's like, we've got to get smarter than this and stop falling for this nonsense.
Good for you. Yeah. You know, I can hardly even go on Facebook anymore because I don't know. It's just not a lot of fun because the only thing that people generally do, of course, we got some really sweet people on my little page, but, you know, most often you get a lot of action when you just do something where you can do a right or a left answer, you know? You know what I mean? For or against, and then they just argue with each other, and it's stupid.
Exactly. And what I've seen is, you know, like Facebook, for example, has become the newspaper for everybody, and people are imitating what they've grown up with that they conceive of news to be, which is negative and not necessarily true, and just spinning the same old stuff. Now, there are some people, of course, who post more interesting things and uplifting things, but in general, people are just imitating what they've been programmed to do.
Yeah, the mind is just spitting out these old pictures, right? And that's who they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who they think they are. And you hear people at the post office or, you know, whether in the store, and they just keep repeating stuff, and you can tell they haven't thought this through, right? They haven't thought it through. Well, you know, Donald Trump is this. Well, okay. Well, have they really thought it through and they know this? Or they heard somebody on the news say that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know.
And
of course,
I've been teaching about trauma-based mind control in my workshops for 20-some years because I learned early on, and I could see this with people, that when you do things to break your programming, whether it's cultural or from family or your upbringing, whatever, we all are programmed. And there is intentional trauma-based mind control programming that's been going on for thousands of years, really. Programming people into these fearful and limited modes of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And when you step out of that, and there are ways to do it, there
are
ways to break that programming and to expand your view and understanding. And when you do that, then you can no longer be controlled and you don't have these knee-jerk reactions, and life is a whole lot more fun.
Because you see it for what it is, right? It's just silly. So trauma-based mind control would be, give us an example, maybe what something is going on today where that, in your opinion, is what the boys, we call them Doug and Mel, what they're doing.
Well, anytime you've got, of course, you've got a lot of engineered conflicts, like this, these bombings in Syria and stuff, and, you know, wars, historically wars, you know, wars themselves create trauma for those involved, but also for those observing it and being exposed to it. And so you put a steady dose of this out in the media, and what happens with trauma makes people disassociate. It makes their mind split. Their right and left brain hemisphere function split. And it's a safety mechanism of the mind to say, ooh, that's too horrible for me to deal with. That's not me. And so it separates it and compartmentalizes it and locks it away in the unconscious. Now, when you have low-level traumas, like the news, for example, it may do it at a lower, subtle level. but the accumulation of any kind of trauma, large or small, physical or emotional, over time that accumulates and it gets locked into the mind, in the unconscious mind, it gets locked into physically into the body and chemical receptors, sites in cells where neuropeptides will actually store information and memory of trauma, which is why body workers will tell you, you know, when you do massage and mechanically working on people, a lot of times they'll break down crying and stuff. It's because they're releasing the cellular memory of trauma. And so physical imbalances, emotional imbalances, all of these ultimately come from trauma. And so the powers that be have known this very well for thousands of years, and so they've always promoted this steady dose of trauma through, whether it's through war or media or whatever. And it makes people disassociate, and part of the symptoms of disassociation is suggestibility. It makes it much easier to program people with ideas. So you traumatize people, whether it's a naturally occurring event, like let's say a volcano blowing and hurting some people, or a space shuttle crash or whatever. They take these trauma events and they amp them up through the media and push and push and push, or like 9/11, for example.
That was the all-timer, right?
Yeah. And so people disassociate, and they get to where they just don't want to take anymore. And so they just unplug and dissociate, and then they're much more open to programming. And then, of course, the programming comes through the media. It comes through our education system. And it's also self-reinforced, because programmed people will teach and program other people. And so it's like this self-perpetuating system.
Yeah, wow.
It's based in trauma and fear.
Everybody reacting to the effect rather than looking at what the cause, which is spirit working through us, right? And so people react to the effect out there, right?
Right.
They react
and
to all the effect.
Not only are most people not aware that it's going on,
no,
but they,
no idea.
Even if they're aware that it's going on, most people do not know how to stop it. They don't know how to change it in their lives. And so that's what I've been teaching, is these specific techniques for releasing trauma and reprogramming the unconscious mind and letting go of the fear, so that you wind up having a really wonderful, magical life.
Yes, yes. Well, I think it's well said what you, and when you're in the matrix, you don't know you're in the matrix.
Exactly.
Right, you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know, and you don't know that you don't know it.
You don't know you don't know it. Which is why, which is just very curious. So that'll kind of lead us into, I know that you're very keen and interested in past lives and dreams as well as I am, as you know. And I'd like to learn some of your experiences and how did you first start to see or experience some of your past lives, Ken Rolla?
Well, it was probably in my 20s when I started reading books like the Seth books, which was channeled information that talked about multiple lifetimes and things. And I had intuitively believed that we existed beyond this physical body and that we probably had other lifetimes, but I didn't really think about it much as a kid because I grew up, you know, in a typical American family and very conservative, and we didn't even talk about that kind of stuff. So I kind of held this within me, and when I was in my 20s, I started coming across books that held this stuff in there about past lives. I was like, wow, this is, I've always believed this within, but I've never heard anybody outside of me talk about it. And so that was kind of what initially drew my interest to it. And then in my late 20s and 30s, I kind of got into it surreptitiously because I came across this book about doing out-of-body experiences. And it was called 30 Days to an Out-of-Body Experience. And I did everything in the book, and I never had an out-of-body experience. But the fact that I was focused on it and intending it, I wound up manifesting it accidentally, so to speak, and discovered that if I slept in a cold room with my upper body exposed, I would go out of body every night. And I started confirming that I was actually going out because I could go places and see things and then confirm in the waking daytime state that what I had seen was actually there. And I mean, you know, sometimes in other states and other parts of the world, I would see things and then confirm that those things were actually there.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me started with the, you know, just interested in these kinds of things. And then I got introduced to some people. Well, actually, some people who were doing a past life class needed a place to hold it, and I had a house with a large living room, and so So we wound up allowing them to use our house for a past life course, and that rocked my world. I discovered that I had been, you know, in other lifetimes. I saw myself in other lifetimes in Africa and Australia and other things, and it was very vivid. And then in one case, I saw myself. Actually, I wound up going, there was a friend of mine who was a massage therapist, and she was interested in what she called exploring the timelines. And I heard her say that to somebody, and I didn't know what it meant, but it sounded interesting. So I said, well, I'll be your guinea pig. And turns out she wanted to learn how to do past life regression. So I became a guinea pig for her, and she wound up just intuiting beautifully what to do. She wound up laying me down on a massage table in her office, and covering my body with crystals and surrounding my body with crystals. And then she would just have me close my eyes and visualize whatever I was seeing. And essentially she became my logical mind, and I just kind of shut my logical mind off and just daydreamed and visualized whatever I was going to see. And I kept dancing around this something that I was supposed to see but I didn't want to see, and it was in medieval times. And it turns out it was a lifetime as a militiaman on an English nobleman's estate.
Wow.
And I lived out on the grounds of the estate as part of a militia that protected the estate. And I was low man on the totem pole, so I was, you know, very poor. I lived in a little stone and straw hut and lived very simply. And when the nobleman, sometimes the standing army of the king would need help on a campaign, they would get the noblemen's militias together and go off on a campaign. So from time to time, I would go off on these war campaigns and be fighting in other countries, fighting other soldiers, but also on the way, raping and pillaging villages.
Oh, good for you.
So I saw myself, you know, going into these villages and raping and pillaging and killing women and children and cutting their heads and arms off and stuff like this. And it was very vivid. I saw all this detail.
Wow.
Of what was going on. And then I had validation of it a few months after this, where I wound up going to Chicago. A friend of mine invited me I was living in North Carolina, and this friend invited me to fly up to North Carolina, my wife and I, to go to a Cubs game. And so we went to a Cubs baseball game and spent the weekend there in Chicago, and we wound up going to the big Natural History Museum there. And it just so happened that weekend they had a traveling exhibit of medieval armaments. And I had described to my wife and my friends in great detail all of this armament and clothing and everything that I was wearing in these meditations. And so we go to this museum, and there they have these medieval armaments, and in the English armament section, everything that I had seen and described was there.
Isn't that great, boy?
And I knew why they were made the way they were made and how they were used and all this kind of stuff. So it really hit me at an emotional level. And then, you know, like a week or two later, I get back home, and I was in a men's group, and they invited me to come and watch the movie Braveheart. And I couldn't make it through the whole movie. I just broke down crying in the middle of the movie with all of the bloodshed and everything. It reminded me of that lifetime. And so it hit me at a deep emotional level. And after I did the regression with this woman, I cried for days, man. I cried the whole way home. I was crying, and I cried for days because it hit me at such a deep level. So, and then I wound up doing regressions on other people. I was down at Hippocrates Health Institute in Florida, and they had a past life class, but they were trying to regress the entire class at one time, and it just didn't work. And so my fellow students were kind of bemoaning the fact that they didn't really get much out of it. And I said, well, if you guys want to come back to my house, we can, you know, try and do a session on ourselves. And so we wound up doing that, and I was blown away at the strong emotional reaction that these people had, six different people. And I just kind of intuited what to do, and I just basically had them do some breath work beforehand, and then, you know, had them close their eyes and focus on whatever it was they were meant to see. And within 30 seconds, you know, the first two people are just wailing, crying, and just tears pouring down, and they saw these past lifetimes that were very traumatic, where some horrible things happened to them, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
So what do you think the benefit of seeing horrible things? I mean, they're...
Well, in my experience, I just did a past life class a few weeks ago with a facilitator from Domenher, which is a big intentional community in Italy that's really very advanced. And what I've learned from doing this is, first of all, for me, it's very, very easy to visualize lifetimes where I had a good time. But in this Domenher class, I kept dancing around what I didn't want to see, which was a difficult lifetime as an Eskimo in ancient times before recorded history. It was very cold, and I wound up freezing to death. But what I've learned, and I think what people can learn in general from these doing these past life things, is that, first of all, you realize a lot about yourself in this lifetime from your past experience. Because, for example, I live here in Florida. I love warm weather. I do not like cold weather. And when I did this regression and saw myself freezing to death as an Eskimo, it's like, well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I don't like cold, you know. So you learn more about yourself, but it also allows you to let go of any of these aspects that don't serve you well. You know, so for example, you know, it's like if I have an aversion to cold to the point where it's kind of interfering with my life, or my life would be more well-rounded without that issue, then having conscious knowledge of it and letting go of it will shift you and change you in a beneficial way.
Yeah, kind of the idea, if you get eaten by a shark in a past life or something, then you can say, oh, well, that's why I just don't like putting my foot in the water in the middle.
Yeah.
And it helps you to kind of say, okay, well, I can really let that go. That's already done that one. And
yeah, it's like multi-generational trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really like when you discover the lifetimes where you've had traumatic experiences, you can release it just like you can release trauma from this lifetime, and then you're just happier and healthier all the time without even knowing why.
That's a cool thing. Ken Rolla is with us, and we have much more to talk about here. Stick around. If you'd like to join the show, it is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Andrew will also be here on Wednesday, and this is something about his company.
Listeners to the variety of programs on the One Radio Network have, in many cases, picked up on Wednesday's Real World of Money featuring Andy Goss. SDL Incorporated, Andy Goss's company, specializes in the purchasing and sale of American gold and silver coins. Many of the listeners have become familiar with Andy Goss as he has spoken about the central banks and their ability to create unlimited amounts of fiat or unbacked currency. The expansion of the money supply by these central banks around the world has actually created a very bullish market for gold and silver coins. Those who have listened to the shows have picked up on many of the points of accumulating gold and silver coins. Those who may be new, please feel free to call us for additional information anytime at 1-800-468-2646. That is SDL Incorporated, American Gold and Silver Coins, 1-800-468-2646.
And just like what we were talking about before, know the source. Andrew is a good friend of mine who I've known for 25 years, and wow, it's amazing. And he's a real deal. And so if you're going to buy gold and silver coins, numismatic coins, might as well go to somebody that I know and trust. And he's not going to sell you a bunch of stuff. He just doesn't work like that. He's just got a high state of consciousness when it comes to ethics and what people need, and will talk to you and the rest of it, and not sell you something that you don't need. I mean, he understands that. And also, he doesn't use collapsitarian, crashaholic memes like you might see on TV. I can only imagine what goes on TV. I don't have a TV, but I've heard some of the things on the radio. Of course, the dollar is going to crash, and it's going to be crashed for, what, the last 50 years? It's never happened yet, but that's how they've been selling gold, you know. The dollar is going to crash, so you should buy gold, and then, and all this stuff, you know. This is what people do. So, you know, this is the kind of guy you want to go to if you want to get some numismatic coins. He just does real American money. He doesn't deal with anything else but real American money, no bricks or blocks or slabs or whatever, bullion coins, like you get from the Mint. Just numismatic, real American money. 800-468-2646.
In the 1950s, Dr. Joanna Budwig had a 90% success rate curing people of cancer using fresh-pressed flax oil and cottage cheese. The combination of dairy protein with unoxidized flax oil was able to restore oxygen transfer. It is now well known the cells of our bodies require unoxidized omega-3 and 6 seed oils to both attract and absorb oxygen. For the first time, there are seed oils with virtually zero oxidation, even after 1 year at room temperature. All other, quote, cold-pressed seed oils are structurally damaged and significantly oxidized by the time you consume them. Andrea's seed oils retain the correct shape, electron content, and information that is quickly communicated to all the cells of your body. By taking these sacred seed oils, your whole body will begin to use oxygen as the Creator designed it. Now combine this with our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein, and you have a winning combination to confer energy and health like never before. Click on the 5-seed oil banner right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
James sends in this great email about his sulfur experience. I can't read the whole thing because it's really kind of long, but it's fun to read. And he, a new user to this organic pure sulfur that we use, and he went on a fast, and he was doing about a teaspoon or so. Boy, he really felt yucky, and I mean, he was going through a detox thing, and then he quit it, and then he really felt terrible, terrible, terrible. He said, man, did I learn my lesson? So I upped the dose to 2 tablespoons in the morning and evening, and the mild headaches were gone. Took extra sulfur to keep it work. So the next time I did 1 day fast, I was fine during the day. Took the evening dose at about 2 teaspoons at 6 p.m., That night I woke up at 1 a.m. and felt the same feeling, and just I had more. And the more I take, then the better I feel. And the sickness went away, and I burned through the detox. And this can happen to some people. I remember Andrew Goss, he started taking sulfur, I don't know, maybe a year ago or whenever I sent him one. And he called me up and said, man, I feel like I got the flu and all that. I said, just take more, just take more. And he just took more, and in a day or so, he was totally gone. Some people don't feel anything. It just depends on your level of toxicity. But this is a great product. Sulfur has been said to have a love affair with heavy metals, and we like that. And it's a nice little detoxification. We have a cool video on the front page of One Radio Network. Stephanie Seneff at a TED Talk mentions sulfur quite a lot with its connection with the GMOs that we'll talk about tomorrow, the glyphosates and the whole sulfur transfer, you know, the whole system that glyphosate screw around with getting sulfur out of the soil. So it's a good thing to try if you want to experiment, and you can just go right on our website and get yourself some and see what you think.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
For their bodies, and it lulled them into thinking they weren't dumb. They did guns, extreme sports, special hobbies, and cool tricks with their fingers and thumbs. And they thought they would be guaranteed delivered to some guy in Roman sandals and a beard. So they bought and they fought and they twittered. By 2153, they disappeared. Oh, they waited for their God in vain. Yeah, they waited for their God in vain. In the last big play of the final game, they waited for their God in vain.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
That's great. Oh, man. That is Eliza Gilkison. I like the opposing thumbs line. I just think that was great. And how they thought they were so... their brains were so big and they were so smart. And then they weren't around anymore, you know? I don't know what happened to them. Ken Rolla and Patrick Timpone, and Doodle just came up to say hi. Say hi, Ken.
Hey, Doodle.
And say hi, Ken. Hi, Ken. Hi, Ken. You know, I did a pretty fun thing. We went through a little period where the fleas were just kind of crazy mazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just had a very mild winter. And, boy, we got on top of them very quickly. Got some of these little cool flea traps. I don't know if you've ever seen these or if you have animals. Or do you guys have fleas in Florida?
Well, we have fleas in Florida, but my yard doesn't really... We don't really get much.
Oh, cool.
I think because my skater devices.
Yeah,
but,
they probably keep them away.
We also nurture the land, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm out here on 15 acres, and goodness knows what's out there. But so I did the about 500 parts per million colloidal silver, been spraying that on her. And I tell you, I think it's just doing amazing stuff with, I think it must be killing their little eggs, you know, that they like to lay in the fur.
Interesting.
Which is a real problem with fleas, right? I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You can find stuff, even natural stuff, like I have a cedar product, just cedar, that'll kill them right on contact, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they get in there, and then they'll make these little eggs, right? And then they have a kabillion babies, and they can do that on your, you know, in your even hardwood floors. And there's some stuff you can do, some non-toxic stuff that you can put on there. And sterilize the mothers, you know. I don't like to do that to moms. What are you going to do? But you know what, Ken? Another thing that I've done, and I know this is going to be really weird, but you'll get this. You'll get this, too. I really got about a week and a half ago. I said, okay, here's the deal. Okay, you guys, you fleas, you know, you're really causing a little distress in my household with this doodle scratching and these little fleas. So what do you say you just kind of leave? And, you know, I won't kill you. Just, you know, just chill. Just go somewhere else. And I know it helps. I know that's weird, but I believe it. I mean,
yeah,
it does. Don't you? You know what I'm saying? I know.
Well,
what
I know exactly what you're saying, because here
why
in Florida,
why
you know,
not?
We get all kinds of bugs and stuff. We get ants sometimes. And I don't use poisons on my land or in my house or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So about twice a year, usually in the spring and the fall, we'll get ants will come in and... Most people be like, oh, my God, I've got to spray them or whatever. And I just...
talk to them or whatever.
I talk to them, and I make sure there's not food and water around for them. And usually within 2 weeks, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really cause any problems. They won't get into any food or anything. Or they just kind of crawl around on the floor or maybe on the counter. But
I do.
I go out and talk to them, and I meditate. And I have this zone around my house. My house is surrounded by a sidewalk. And I was like, okay... You guys stay outside the sidewalk. I won't bother you.
Yeah, I won't bother you. Yeah, I think we do that intuitively, spiritually, with things like spiders and snakes and stuff. And you just got a symbiosis thing going on, you know. It's probably the same way in the ocean too. If you feel like swimming around, and the sharks probably won't eat you, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because animals definitely can sense energy
that humans can't. Yeah, they get it. Of course, you guys got gators down there. Do you talk to the gators?
You know, I've had some interesting experiences with alligators because I don't fear them, and I don't have any. My property has water, but it's salt water, so we don't really see them here. But I was there. I had some friends that used to. Rent this cabin on this spring in one of the national forests here. And it was really hard to get this cabin because they had a lottery system where you had to put your name in this lottery to win the cabin, and then you had to pay for it for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But they figured out how to game the system so that they could get it pretty much whenever they wanted. And so we would go several times a year and hang out for several days at this cabin and swim in the springs and have a great time. So after doing that several times, there was one particular time where my wife and I couldn't make it on the weekend that we wanted to come. So we were delayed by a few days, and it turns out that horribly, a young girl who was there visiting on the weekend that we were supposed to be there got killed by an alligator.
Wow.
And the alligator, she was actually swimming with her mom in this creek, pretty large creek. And the water had it was brown because it had a lot of tannins from the rain in it. And apparently they were only about 30 feet apart, and this alligator grabbed the girl. She was in her 20s. She wasn't, you know, tiny or anything. And, but he grabbed her apparently by the head, pulled her under and drowned her, and the mother never even knew.
Whoa.
And so eventually, you know, when they couldn't find her, they went looking around and found her dead in the jaws of the alligator on a sandbar. And so it just reminded me of how, you know, we really do create our realities, because I could see that. And also, I think we have protection. I know in the line of work that I'm doing, I mean, I've worked with technologies and things that could easily get me killed, and I've had friends who work with advanced technologies like free energy technology who have been killed. And I've seen consistently over and over again that I'm very protected and guided by all kinds of people and beings. And so I really believe that that circumstances were created so that I wouldn't be there at the wrong place at the wrong time. Because normally, the very spot where this girl was killed, I had swum there many times. And it turns out it was an alligator that people had been feeding, and it lost its fear. But at any rate, so I really, you know, I really focus on creating a safe, abundant reality, and part of it is not being in fear. So yeah, I've seen some alligators around, and they're pretty cool, actually. But you do have to respect them.
Yeah, man, they got big teeth.
Yeah.
Dallas writes into Ken Rolla, What is your setup for growing food look like? I'm really curious. I'm trying to get a sense of what to realistic expect for one person. Also, what kind of food do they serve at the Vipassana meditation retreats?
Okay. Well, first of all, at Vipassana, they serve a vegetarian diet. It's all run by volunteers who have been through the program before. And if you're going to go do Vipassana, I would tell you this. They have some cooked food. They have some raw, some kind of macrobiotic and some raw. And it's all vegan. I don't think they have any dairy products. But if you're going to do Vipassana meditation, watch your food combining when you do it, because they serve, you know, granolas and nuts and seeds and fruit and various things. And one time I went and did Vipassana meditation. For those who aren't familiar with it, Vipassana is this technique that supposedly Buddha used to attain enlightenment. And you go to these retreat centers and you spend 10 days, you take a vow of silence, you don't talk, you go within, and you don't communicate in any way, shape, or form with anybody, and you meditate 12 hours a day. And so so one time that I went, there was this doctor who was very large, and he didn't know anything about diet or food combining, so he was eating the worst possible combinations of foods. He's eating proteins and nuts and seeds and fruit. And so throughout the meditations, he's farting like crazy to the point where people went to the facilitators and were complaining, and they had to remove the guy.
I'll be, that's funny.
So I would say, if you're going to do Vipassana, you know, watch your food combining. If you don't know about food combining, go online and study it. But it's basically, you don't want to mix foods that digest slowly, like proteins and greens, with fruit and sugars. So that's what they serve at Vipassana. Now,